quite proud here tonight. We've had two guest speakers already. We have two pseudo guests to go. And I'm now filling in as he's not back yet.
No problem.
And I am doing the Amol routine. Should I give an explanation, a look on Alankma's conversation with you?
Sure.
How can I do it? Like,
what can I use on the web page?
You can use pretty much it. It will be hard to follow, I think.
I'll have to edit it heavily.
Mm-hmm. And put it in chronological order, as it did loop quite frequently.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just take it and just work it out.
Okay, she's back.
Okay,
catch you in a few times. Okay, who's being loud?
Loud? Oh, I'm kidding. I got both in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Like harmony.
Yes, harmony. Harmony, 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 harmony. No. Okay, I'll put the next speaker on.
All right.
And we have the two guests at the end.
Okay.
Dude, yo, he lost me, you know, when he was talking like that. Really? I thought I was the hip chick. I thought
you'd follow along totally with that.
I thought I was the hip chick.
You've been so planted.
The only the ones. He's not got the hip movements I've got.
No, that's true. So anyway, we are working on this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Pythagorean geometry and
astronomy. Oh, cool. Cool, dude.
Okay. And in regards to Stonehenge and the various other megalithic sites throughout Europe.
Cool.
Particularly Britain.
Cool.
Okay. Now, according to what I'm reading here, the ancient builders of Stonehenge and these megaliths had an Einsteinian knowledge of Pythagorean geometry way before Pythagoras is even born, and astronomy to such a degree that it would take almost telescopes and computers to figure out the exact alignments that they came up with.
Which are accurate.
Which are very accurate. So that only leaves one suggestion about where this science came from, which would be Atlantis. Now, my theory on this is that the reason the knowledge came through so clearly is that it came from one particular race of beings who left Atlantis and settled in the northern part of England.
Well, I think we've covered that. I think we have to.
Well, we have, yeah, but I mean, we haven't covered to this angle yet.
Okay, let me hear you out.
Okay. Now, when we covered it last, we covered the fact that the group in question were the miners of Atlantis.
Some of them, yes.
Some of them. Who left and settled in parts of Scandinavia and parts of Britain. Okay. Now, at the time, all we discussed about them was the fact that they continued their mining.
Yeah.
And we still have, you know, relics of those basic archaeological digs, well, for their part, mined today. Now, in this respect, we're seeing a whole other level of science added onto that.
Yeah.
To where mining is not even involved. Which is
Yes, it is.
In a certain way. But there's something else besides this. This wasn't strictly their work.
No.
This was something that goes beyond that.
Well,
the fact that it seems like it's more almost Syrian.
You've got to remember, you're dealing with a group of individuals that have to know mathematics and geometry. Why?
To work out the basic structures of a weak point, strong points of, you know, holes they're digging in the ground.
And the shafts that they're digging and how to shore up the shafts and so on.
Right.
So you've got to have a very sophisticated level of engineering and a very high understanding of mathematics.
Yes.
So that's where the geometry comes in.
Right.
Because certain shapes have certain strengths, and certain strengths can be used for safety.
Right.
After all, you have to remember that if a group of miners get trapped underground, yeah, they've got to be able to go to a safe area where they can work out, and a relief party can work in.
Right.
Otherwise, they end up dead very quickly.
Right.
And to minimize fall-ins and cave-ins and so on, you've got to know the certain structures to be able to create an area that there is less of a chance of a cave-in.
But now, see, this doesn't include the astronomy part. That's where the second group comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
from what I understand, though, it wasn't just the mining groups that that ended up there.
Right. It wouldn't seem to be. It looked like they were still working with other, you know, other members of the Atlantean community.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I understand is, well, maybe I do, the astronomy part
mm-hmm.
came in so that they could regulate the timing of solar eclipses, times of the seasons,
mm-hmm.
For growth, and, mm-hmm. You know, basic parts of the year,
mm-hmm.
which is where the astronomy part comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The building part obviously helps in the aid of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that comes into being here that I'm questioning is movement of the stones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we're seeing is the same kind of design we saw with the pyramid, whereby we're using psychokinesis
mm-hmm.
to maneuver the stones into place, take them from rock quarries 130 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and place them with the exactness that they did.
Well, if you look at where the rocks supposedly came from, right, which is where?
Well, the majority came 130 miles away, the blue granite.
From?
Give me a second, I can tell you.
We can go and ask Mark if you want, send somebody to ask Mark.
Oh, no. It's right here. Yeah, here it is.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. Hoo, 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 hoo. Ba-bum, bum, 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 bum.
Ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba, ba.
The blue stones, okay, came from a Welsh quarry,
uh-huh.
which was 130 miles northwest of Salisbury Plain. The Sarsen slabs were brought from the Marlborough Downs, about 20 miles north of the site.
Uh-huh.
And since wheeled vehicles were unknown in Britain during the time of Stonehenge's construction, the long-distance transportation of all the movies in this massive rocks is the most astonishing feats
uh-huh.
that were accredited to the builders.
Uh-huh. Tia's just arrived back and she goes, Wales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Welsh quarry.
Yes. Now, what is Wales famous for?
Welshmen?
Apart from Welshmen.
Oh. The Celts?
No.
Wales. Wales. Why did that question sound so familiar? What is it famous for? I have to say it'd be probably some famous archaeological site.
No. Go down to Virginia City and look around. What's there?
What, mines?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, coal or something?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes. What, is that
Newcastle or something? Is it Wales?
I don't know.
Coal's from Newcastle?
Oh. I don't know.
It's not my country.
Not my planet. Beat ya. Uh-huh. It's not my dimension. Top that one.
You got a point.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, mining. Think about it, dude. You're cutting blocks, right? What group of individuals would be the ideal people to be stonemasons?
Miners, of course.
Of course, dude. So you got a whole load of granite that needs cutting, right?
Right.
What do you do?
You cut it up and you transport it.
You go to the locals who happen to be miners. Hey, dudes, we got some rock here. Could you cut it for us?
No problem.
No problem. So you have two groups of individuals communicating.
Now check this picture out. This was found. These are some stuff that was found at the site. It's attributed to the Mycenaeans,
mm-hmm.
which led them to believe that possibly the Greeks had built it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that's not true, but we know where that came from, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We know the origin of that. Yes, it is Grecian in style, mm-hmm. or Mycenaean in style. But the Mycenaeans borrowed that from somewhere else anyway.
And we know where, dude.
And we know where.
God, he's got me talking like him.
So we know that, okay, after looking at this,
mm-hmm.
and looking at where how the stones were moved,
mm-hmm.
who cut them, we kind of get a clearer picture of how they were built, why they were built.
Mm-hmm.
But that leads us into the next problem is, okay, where is the rest of it? Is that it? A few trinkets and Stonehenge and a bunch of megaliths? That's it? No, we have mines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have mines. We have power grids.
Ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have mounds.
Mm-hmm.
Which
majority of them are tombs.
Right. We also have things like Salisbury Hill and Glastonbury Hill.
Salisbury Hill?
It's a famous mound. A lot of energy there.
Oh.
Glastonbury Hill. Conjunction of ley lines.
Tor.
Tor, correct.
Glastonbury Tor. It's not a hill, it's a tor.
Right.
We have a church on that.
Mm-hmm.
And a very spiritual pathway.
Correct. Which I believe is linked to Stonehenge somehow or another.
You'd have to ask somebody that knows something about it.
I haven't even looked into that part yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can find out.
Ask a Celt.
Yeah, I will ask him. So.
Not a kilt, a Celt.
Well, we're seeing now then that there is a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And what we could say then is this is the founders of England.
Oh, that will upset him.
Why?
England's only a part of it. What does Mark say he is?
Oh, British.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Britain. But we're seeing now. Okay, here's another partial. Here's another clue. Okay, where you look at, there's some 50,000, the most megalithic sites, you know, where mm-hmm. all these things are in England. There's 50,000, all the greatest concentration of megaliths are found in Western Europe, North Africa, primarily in Britain, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, France, Scandinavia, and Algeria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this doesn't mention the other end of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Which is Greece, Egypt. Well, North Africa, I guess. Egypt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've got obelisks.
Yeah. Totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different group of individuals. Communication between them, certainly. All heading towards one goal, which I haven't got the foggiest of what it would be after a great disaster. Probably survival and communication.
I'd say it'd be more. Well, here's the whole topper for all this.
Mm-hmm.
If you look around the world after the disaster of Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
you see sites set up all around the world that individually they're unique to that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if you group them all together, what you're seeing is Atlantis on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so spread out through, yeah, it's many Atlantises.
Right. You have to look at it and actually take the whole globe.
And bring it together, and you get...
at one small island, mm-hmm. one large continent.
Yeah. But it's more than that. You're getting parts of a city brought back together, a capital city brought back together. This is my opinion, and my opinion only, is that you've got the miners, right, and the agriculturalists that end up scattered all over the place. The mass concentration is in Europe. And you have a group of miners and agriculturalists that are together, right? They try to recreate their area.
Right.
Because if you take mining, right, it brings rock and sterile stuff out of the ground, which can be put on the ground to be used as fertilizer and all sorts of interesting things. Lime, for example, and so on, which is good for the ground. So that the miners and the agriculturalists would tend to exist together. So that you have these two groups working together on Atlantis. They escape, and a large group of them that end up in Europe and scattered all over Europe are still grouped together because, you know, they're running to the boats as the island goes down and explodes and whatever. So you're going to get a mixture of them together.
Right. You also see some of those miners going off to Egypt, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of that work in Egypt is just beyond awesome.
Oh, of course. Of course, but...
the Sphinx, for example.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying.
But that's a whole other style of mining.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Sphinx is so different from Stonehenge as to be almost two complete cultures. So therefore, you're seeing the miners with a different group.
Mm-hmm. As catering to the different group.
To a more, I would almost call it a higher class.
It's more along the lines...
it's not agriculturalist.
That's right.
As it's so much more aristocracy.
You're dealing with a group of individuals in Europe that are agriculturalists and miners.
Right, who have to know the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Very important for them.
Correct.
So you see, one cannot exist without the other.
Right.
You see.
So they trade on the agricultural goods that they get or the mine work that they get to help them learn to, you know, chart the seasons.
Correct. In Egypt, where it's almost a year-round harvesting type thing,
right,
and a different type of lifestyle, you don't need to have such a high reliance on the seasons, because there's basically two seasons,
right,
drought and rain. But you have to have things to store the grain in and the food.
They're almost scientists.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the pyramid and some of the other works among Egypt,
mm-hmm.
you're seeing more of alignment with Sirius.
Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a lot of mathematical precision.
A lot of work with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a lot of mathematical precision. A lot more so than you see it with, you know, Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it in a greater quantity.
Yeah, but you see the mathematics would be the mining. The astronomy and the alignments would be more aristocratic and nobility. It might be better to say that there were two main groups that survived that ended up in Europe in the mining groups and the agricultural groups. But there was also the affluent miners and the affluent farmers.
Right, the aristocracy.
Mm-hmm. And more of them ended up in Egypt, but some ended up there. And the same with the farming. Fewer of the farmers ended up in Egypt. More of the
scientist class.
That's correct.
Ended up
mm-hmm.
in Egypt.
Yeah. Which tells you what about the island?
About England? No. Britain?
About Atlantis.
If
you look at Atlantis, let's say this is Atlantis here.
That everything is more grouped into sections.
Okay. Let's say this is Atlantis, right?
Yeah.
You've got Northern Europe over here. You've got Africa here, you've got the Americas here, right? Now, where is your mass concentration of agriculturalists and miners?
It's going to be on the northern side, on the northeastern side.
Of the island.
Because that's where you're going to get your
mass concentration over here of survivors.
Well, your trade winds and everything are going to be coming that way.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that the survivors, miners and farmers, the majority of them ended up over here.
Right.
Whereas down here, we got a bunch of...
Wait a minute, the capital city was down there in the southeast. What was it called?
Something like that. So you've got down here, you've got more of the aristocracy and so on.
Right.
Right? And a few miners. Now that tells you about Atlantis here, right? What have you got?
Well, that would be, okay, we know the Mayans came from and Indian. American Indians were in the Northwest.
They were over here.
Right.
So you've got coming from this side of the island, right, surviving going this way.
Which group of people? The Redskins.
That's right.
But they're also down in the southwest of the island.
Mm-hmm.
North and southwest. They're spread on that whole western side there.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's more like home for them.
More
luscious grasslands and forest lands.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Whereas over here you have a more barren agricultural type area. Whereas here you have more of a warmer tropical area. So, and here you have the capital city and so on. So the survivors flee. You're not getting any of the forest dwellers coming across to this side as the island goes up. They're all going this way and this way. And you have going this way the miners and the agriculturalists and a few of the aristocracy, and then this way you have a lot of the aristocracy, a few farmers and a few miners. Going this way you have a few miners, right, and a few aristocracy, and
the miners were all over the island.
Exactly,
because remember, if we look at South America and Central America,
there is mining
on a great scale. Giant constructions that are totally mysterious in Peru. For example, the size of this house, blocks, the size of this house make up a wall. And that is very familiar to the Bimini Wall in the southwestern side of the island near Florida, which we see the same size and sort of blocks there as we see in Peru. So we're seeing, that exodus there. But then that also brings in the question of, well, there's also Lemuria to be brought into.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not a complete equation. There is a lot.
There's a lot of missing parts.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot more cleared up.
Okay. More questions?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, dear.
No worries, Steve. I'm going to go off and talk to Mum, and then I'll see about dealing with Mark.
Later, tall chick.
Yeah. Tall chick. He called me the slick chick.
Slick chick with a chain.
Yeah, I was looking at him going, dude, come on, man. Well, I was going, dude, come on, out of there, dude.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
I mean, that was how you were doing it.
See you later, dude.
Bye. Okay.
Thank
you.
All right. Well, hello again.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hey, doing the Yomo routine.
So what do you think? We can put a little map or something on the page?
We could try.
Maybe just pick a little graphic and make, this group here, miners all around kind of thing. And kind of just put...
Yeah, take pictures of your planet as it is.
You mean scan it maybe?
I should be able to load something off the internet.
Yeah, you're right. I probably could.
Get a graphic computer to do it. Get something to do.
Get something like that's a good idea.
And I believe he has some drawing capabilities. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. And I think pretty much all of that can go. We have to wait until we get the okay from the mob because there are some things there that...
questionable.
Very questionable.
Very questionable.
Well, Kiri. Yeah. She likes to walk on the edge and wear things in such a way that it's later that you see them.
All right, we'll just feed it to me later.
Okay. Okay. I'll put on the next guest speaker, well, semi-guest speaker.
Okay. Hello.
Yo, hello.
This is Bernie.
Of course.
Bernie? Uh-huh. How are you doing, darling?
Much, much better.
Oh, well, that's good. Uh-huh. What would you do?
I'm over my period.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not leaking and bleeding all over the place.
Red tide left.
The red tide died is gone.
Back in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
Yeah. Starting to kick back in as well.
Well, you had a wonderful show anyway.
Glad you liked it.
Oh, I did. But as I warned you, my ability to hang around for a long time mm-hmm. is not quite what it should be.
But I threw my panties away you were sitting. That's the first time I noticed that you were gone.
Oh, when it's not like they disappear. They landed where nothing else was mm-hmm. there. Yes. Yeah.
I wanted to come over. And I couldn't get down through the crowd. I wanted to come over and get you to suck my fingers.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I had, when I dance, I have pick out people to do things for me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the question I have for you this evening, sweetheart,
mm-hmm.
which is strictly yours to answer.
Does it involve sex?
No.
Does it involve lovemaking?
No. Actually, it does sort of involve lovemaking in a sort of way.
Oh, I'm an expert.
Okay. Well, you're also expert in this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is concerning telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what I'm looking at here is the ability to have telepathy on a better scale, better mm-hmm. ability. And what I'm thinking is your empathic channels
mm-hmm.
are more awakened when you're ready, when you're working on probing or telepathic communication. And you can raise your vibrations up to a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you hit upon an interesting point earlier on when mm-hmm. you were talking to the strange one over there. He's gone.
Monk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was listening.
Uh-huh.
But there's a very interesting point, and that is when somebody is in a state of anxiety or sexual arousal, it is easier to probe them.
Hmm.
Do I have your permission?
Of course.
Okay, good. Good, good. You know what I'm asking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it can be used the other way as well. When you are in a state of sexual arousal, you can use that energy to be able to soothe, because a sexual state can be very soothing, not only for yourself, but for somebody else. So you can soothe them and be able to probe. Now, I'd like to try a little experiment towards the end of the session. So what I would do is, when I finish my piece now, I'll get warmed up, and then we'll come back and I will see if I can get it to congeal so that we can try.
Okay.
And it will get me also into the state where I am very able to be receptive and to probe in a very sensual, pleasurable sort of way that will be able to make you more open.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Good. I can wrap around my little finger if I want to. Hello, who is that that's just walking? She is a...
I don't know.
She's tall. Slightly palish blue skin.
Oh, Katrina's showing up.
Oh, poor girl.
Katrina? No, there's nothing poor about her.
She has some...
you mean the latest, her injuries.
Yes.
Oh,
she's
yes.
got a mask or half a mask on.
Yes, well, she got banged up pretty bad in the craft.
Mm-hmm. I can help soothe that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds like a good plan, my dear.
Hmm. She says to say hello to you.
Oh, we'll tell her Dos Vidania for me.
What?
Dos Vidania.
She says, Dos Vidania, and it's something that I can't even get my mouth for. Sounds like Dos Vidania, No, not even going to attempt.
No problem, love.
What is she talking?
Russian.
What's that?
It's one of our cultural languages down here. The eastern part of Europe.
I have to look on a Facebook. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll be back.
All right, love.
I'll put on the next person. Those two are getting acquainted. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, Is this Alana?
Do I sound like Alana?
No.
I met her the other day. She's with a child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's your bondmate, but it's not yours, is it?
Right, it's Mark's.
Ooh.
It backfired.
Getting pregnant is getting backfired?
Does
backfired mean?
Ask Kara about that one.
Well, Kara is talking with Huna and the one that speaks funny.
Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how you doing?
I'm doing good, dear. Is this Leah?
Of course!
Of course, silly me. I should have recognized
you. She says to say MTP.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means.
Male chauvinist pig.
What does that mean?
It means generally men in particular on a third dimensional level who are more selfish and self-conscious than...
But you're not!
I know.
Then why would she say that?
It's a tease. She likes to tease.
Ah!
We go back and forth like this all the time.
You mean like Huna likes to tease?
Sort of. Not quite in a sexual way.
Oh.
More like a...
She's blushing.
Brother-sister kind of way.
Oh, yes. Like me and my brother does.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just like that. We tease each other.
Ah, okay. I know what you mean.
How you doing, Leah?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Glad to have your sister there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys getting acquainted, I hear.
Yes.
You bless you.
Yes.
Well, good to hear it. Good to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see you guys getting to know each other again.
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been since you guys seen each other? Couldn't have been that long.
About 6 months to a year.
Yeah, it wasn't that long then.
Hello, we've got a little visitor just coming to the garden.
Oh, that would be probably Miranda?
No.
Or, I mean, one of the kid cubs.
No.
Oh, no?
Something that makes me feel warm and special.
Oh, we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
I think he's meant to be getting ready for bed, actually.
Yeah, he's a little bit... Oh, yeah, a little bit late. About 15 minutes. So
Why he's wearing his jammies.
Unbelievable. So we're going to... Your sister and I are going to try an experiment here.
Yes, so I hear.
It should be interesting.
Yeah, I think it might... Oof!
What?
I just had my sister sit on my foot accidentally.
Oh.
Oh, well, he's gone.
Well, Levy's gone?
Mm-hmm. He was scooped up and taken away.
Oh, I'm sure he was. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, too.
Okay, let's be serious for
a while.
Got any questions for me?
For the most part, not really. We've been working a lot lately on differences between third dimension and sixth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how much you can contribute to it, but maybe you can, maybe you can't.
Okay.
Your observations?
Well, I've only had a limited experience speaking on a scientific level. From what I've experienced, it's like looking at a brick and not seeing a house.
That's in third dimension.
No, overall. I cannot compare because I've experienced only you and the stud muffin.
And you're
that's what Kiri calls him.
Oh, does she?
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't had your memories get to you yet, so you
no.
can't really discern between your third-dimensional life and your sixth-dimensional life.
No.
Understandable. But now, you can give me some hints on, you know, living in the sixth dimension.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's helpful.
Well, yeah, it comes naturally.
Well, I'm sure it does.
Now, I don't have to think what's right or wrong.
Okay, let's start with this thing.
She is coaching me, by the way.
Okay, let's start with this. Last night I was working with Kara, and she couldn't really answer it as well as I think you could.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're closer to the source. But growing up in sixth dimension, in other words, as a child.
Yeah.
Okay, you need crushes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What things are you taught empathically to be aware of?
Feelings, emotions.
Now, everyone is, right?
Yeah.
From the very get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings and emotions toward others or yourself?
Both.
Both.
Mm-hmm. Feelings of when somebody is in a depressed state of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
not in dormancy,
mm-hmm.
but in a, I want to be alone, leave me alone. You know what kind of mood that is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it is somebody that wants to be genuinely alone to think, or somebody that is, I think you would say, squashed, de-squashed.
Depressed?
Yes, I think.
Yeah, depressed.
Yeah. I know when somebody is in that depressed state of consciousness, as opposed to I want to be left alone to think. And I know that it would be better for that person to be brought out of that state. Whereas somebody that wants to be alone to do studying or whatever, or just wants to be alone, then I know that they just want to be alone. And I'm respectful of that.
Right. Now, how do you learn something like that? Do they give you somebody who is in that mood, or they get themselves in that mood and you have to read it?
No, it's just interaction. It's something that my sister never had.
Really?
Yeah, pure interaction.
Hmm.
See, when I was at the age of learning,
mm-hmm.
We were a lot of the time in council, or my father was in council,
mm-hmm.
so that I would be in town a lot of the time. So I could go to the classes. Whereas when my mother became pregnant with Una,
mm-hmm.
she went back home to have her.
Oh.
She wanted her youngest daughter, my youngest sister, to be at home.
Okay.
And my youngest brother kept her at home when she was pregnant with him.
Okay.
And it was a little complicated for her, the pregnancy was.
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed at home. Now they've come back, or mother's come back to the city to rejoin our father.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they're now getting the interaction that they missed by being up on the coast, way up in the secluded areas where our home is.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that affects your training.
Yeah, it's interaction. Yeah, being put in a crash because mother being my father's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be put into a crash.
Okay. So you learned more about how to respond to people's feelings, but then you see Huna,
mm-hmm.
and you realize she's picked that up almost naturally.
No. She can read people's sexual states.
Right.
And she's learned how to probe
Oh, I see. So that's why she probed me.
Without, she wanted to see your state.
Right, without actually knowing whether or not I wanted to be probed.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, she hadn't had that interaction. I see. Yeah, that clears it up a mm-hmm. big way.
And by probing, mm-hmm. she can tell somebody's emotional status. And so therefore, she sees that it's a status. She can't read the vibes given off very well.
In other words, she can't get the leaky, like Monk was describing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not probing because he knows that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
He's obeying those statutes, but he's picking up on all this extra leaking. So in other words, you'd pick up on leaking instead of probing.
That's correct.
I see.
Whereas Una picks up on
just
the probing.
Probing, right. Mm-hmm. Oh, makes a difference.
Yeah. You see, she didn't have that interaction. That's why I think and feel that she looks for the sexual joining and pleasure to be able to get that.
Well, that's one way to learn it.
Oh, yeah. In a very good way, I mean. Until
I started, <didn't> mind.
Until I started experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with lovemaking. Yeah, it was something I didn't miss. I already... But it heightened the experiences.
Right.
Yeah, the joining. When I made love with Tia for the first time, it was something that was... you've never had fireworks, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Thought men didn't get fireworks.
When I was married, when I first met my first wife,
mm-hmm.
those were fireworks.
Yes.
Actually, my first sexual experience was mass fireworks.
But, yeah, I'd never experienced that.
Right.
Until Tia and myself made love for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my virginity.